Rangatira Ma, no mai ki te pai o Te Wao Nui. You're listening to Te Wao Nui, a wrap of the week's Māori news here on RNZ National. Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Ashley McCall, aho. On this week's programme, two new exhibitions opened at Te Papa to celebrate waka voyaging. New figures reveal Māori are three times as likely to die from a drug overdose than Pākehā. And a research project launched to understand how our most vulnerable communities could be better protected from COVID-19. But first, whānau in Te Uriawera are celebrating the return of several taonga. The taonga were stolen more than 100 years ago during the police invasion of Maunga Pōhatu, a community deep in the ranges. The stolen items included tokotoko, flags and garments. Professor Tairahia Black helped secure their return and spoke to Mani Dunlop about their history.
Maunga Pōhatu was raided by the police, invaded by the police in 1916. And there were three atrocities that were committed by the Crown. The first one was the wrongful invasion of Maunga Pōhatu, killed Ruakin and his son and his nephew, shot by the police. The second one was the absolute disgraceful behaviour by the police of the whānau and hapū of Maunga Pōhatu at the time, and these have all been recorded as part of the claim of Maunga Pōhatu. And the third part was the police, adding to the injustices, ransacked all the homes in Maunga Pōhatu and took away personal taonga, kākahu, tokotoko, everything, greenstone, everything they could lay their hands on. They threw them into sacks and walked out of Maunga Pōhatu with them. The other atrocity that was taking place, Cullen, the police commissioner at the time, sitting on his white horse, looked up at the Maunga Pōhatu flag and said to his police, rip this flag down. And so they did. So when you think about over 100 years of that type of invasion of a community, and it's taken that length of time to negotiate and bring some of these taonga back to the rightful owners. And it hasn't been easy. There have been obstacles all the way. What had happened was that as the police, who were part of the raid invasion of Maunga Pōhatu, passed away, they passed these taonga on to their whānau, or they just gave them to museums, or they threw them away, and they were found by other people. And so everyone outside of Maunga Pōhatu was laying claim to these taonga. There was a little bright side to that. There was some goodwill by Te Papa Tongarewa, by some of the museums in Aotearoa. And as these taonga were discovered, having come from Te Uruwera, having come from Maunga Pōhatu, then we could sit at the table and begin the negotiations. Now, one of the key players that allowed us to negotiate was Mark Sykes, the research manager here in the Whare Taketake o Taonga in Whakatāne Museum. October 2020, one of the trustees of Maunga Pōhatu, myself, his name is Te Ata Heurea, and myself, sat down with Mark and said, we have some taonga at Te Papa Tongarewa and in your museum that belongs to the people in Maunga Pōhatu. We are hosting next year, the 3rd of April 2021, Arua Kenana Life and Legacy Symposium, the first one of its kind to be hosted on the marae. Mm. And that's the first return of these taonga.
Significant. So when that return happened on Saturday, how many taonga were there? And what was the feeling like? I can imagine a lot of sadness on, you know, welcoming these taonga home, but also kua tau te wairua, kua tau te Māori pia?
I think the taonga spoke for itself when they arrived on the marae.
That was Professor Tairahia Black speaking with Mani Dunlop. Two new exhibitions opened at Te Papa on Saturday to celebrate waka voyaging and the people who have kept the knowledge alive. The art of ocean navigation fell into disuse for over 600 years, but thanks to the commitment of several master navigators, it was able to make a comeback. Pōkire Paiwai reports.
Before dawn this morning, several hundred people were welcomed onto Rongomaraerua Marae at Te Papa Tongarewa. They came to celebrate the history and knowledge of waka voyaging and to remember those who paved the way for its revival, such as the late Tā Heke Nuku Mai Ngā Iwi Busby. his whānau were among those in attendance, bringing his kawemate onto the wharenui te hono ki Hawaiki. Te papa head of Mātauranga Māori, Migoto Eria, paid tribute to the work done by Tā Hek. The two exhibitions are side by side. In the first, Manu Rere Moana, visitors can learn about waka hōrua, sailing waka, and the Mātauranga of celestial navigation. The second, He Kaupapa Waka, displays photos of wakatauā, war canoes, alongside tinana and māmari, the last wakatauā carved by Tā Hek before his passing. Te Rāwhiti Roa Bosch, who created and curated the He Kaupapa Waka exhibition, encourages people to get involved with waka. Master waka navigator Hoturoa Barclay Kerr says that awareness and acceptance of Māori navigating prowess is growing, but many are still unaware of the scientific knowledge behind it. Manu Rere Moana will become a permanent part of Te Papa's mana whenua space, and He Kaupapa Waka is set to run well into next year. Visitors to the exhibition are encouraged to interact with the display, whether that's touching the carved hoi or smelling the fragrant kauri wood chips. Migoto Eria says Te Aurere Iti, a one-third size replica of the waka that sailed from Aotearoa to Rarotonga, is a good example of an exhibit the community can engage with. The whole waka haurua and waka taua community has come together to celebrate the taonga and knowledge of waka, a tradition that is still being secured for the future.
New figures have revealed Māori are three times as likely to die from a drug overdose than Pākehā. Data from a new NZ Drug Foundation report shows numbers have risen over the last 5 years, from 111 deaths to 171 from 2017 to 2021. Drug Foundation Executive Director Sarah Helm says Māori were overrepresented in synthetic cannabinoid overdose deaths. I spoke with her about the report.
Yeah, we have had a really tragic increase in the number of overdose fatalities over the last 5 years. We lost over 700 New Zealanders between 2017 to 2021. And really, really sadly, 27% of these were Māori.
So who's to blame for the rise of these figures?
I don't know that we're pointing blame at anyone in particular, but what we do know is that we need to really take charge of the situation and act. So we can take these figures as a warning shot, but also these are real people that we have lost, and it is unacceptable, and we need to do all of the work that is required to prevent further loss of life. The death toll of fatal overdoses equates to more than half of the road toll for 2021. So, you know, we're really talking about quite a serious number of our people, our whānau, our friends, our loved ones. Now, in particular for Māori, most implicated was synthetic cannabinoids, and that was worse in that 2017-2018 period, and so we lost a lot of people over that period. What is positive, at least, is that there were some things put in place as a result of, you know, people calling for change at that time, and that has actually brought the fatalities and the overdoses down to a lower level, but it hasn't gotten rid of them altogether. And while that has come down, we have seen a steady increase in overdoses from particularly opioids, alcohol and benzodiazepines. That's things like Valium and Xanax. So just to be clear, we're calling on some very specific measures to try and stem off those overdoses and not tolerate the ongoing overdoses we have from synthetic cannabinoids.
So you also mentioned from those figures that in the last 5 years that 20% of those deaths were of Māori, and you also mentioned about synthetic cannabinoids being one of the big contributors. Do you have, I guess, numbers or percentages of how many of those deaths equated to from cannabinoids?
21% of all of the Māori overdose fatalities were synthetic cannabinoids. Māori were three times more likely to die than non-Māori from overdose. This really tells us we're getting it wrong and we need to take action. We cannot accept that. And so there are some things specifically that the Drug Foundation is calling for. We're very lucky to have drug checking and the early warning system in place. Now that is having some impact for Māori, and it certainly is for synthetic cannabinoids, but like I say, it hasn't gotten rid of the issue and we continue to see other overdoses climb. So we're calling for an overdose prevention strategy. Aotearoa, we have been somewhat asleep at the wheel on this issue because it has been both stigmatised actually, so people keep it to themselves, but also we've had lower levels than other countries, so perhaps we've become complacent in an ever-changing drug market, which leads me to the next thing. We really need to update our drug and alcohol laws. They're out of date, they are not fit for purpose, and they're not supporting the health and well-being of Māori in particular, but of New Zealanders generally. And then we are also calling for two specific things. One of these things is to address the leading cause, which is opioid overdose. So naloxone, it reverses opioid overdose, and it's very, very effective. We want better access to that. But very specifically for synthetic cannabinoids, we have asked for an overdose prevention centre pilot in Tāmaki Makaurau in inner city Auckland, in order to really try and address the overdose. You know, we're seeing regular overdoses among homeless people and people who are more vulnerable in inner city Auckland from synthetic cannabinoids and other really potent substances. And an overdose prevention centre is incredibly effective at preventing loss of life. It also has other positive spin-off effects. So what that is the person can come in, non-judgmentally receive drug checking services, other sort of first aid kind of stuff, but also enable them to take a substance not on the streets, not on the footpath and without medical attention, but right there with a medical supervisor with them. Now we have asked the homeless people who use this substance, or at least some of them, of course not all of them, and they thought this idea was brilliant. They couldn't believe anyone would look after them in this way. And we've also canvassed a number of providers, and Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei and Hapai Tohuora, for example, have come on board supporting this proposal. It won't fix the underlying trauma, homelessness, colonisation, etc., that has contributed to the situation that we are in, but it will at least preserve life and it will help to improve long-term outcomes for those people and reduce the number of overdoses in the area.
That was Drug Foundation Executive Director Sarah Helm. You're listening to Te Waonui, a wrap of the week's Māori news here on RNZ National. Ko Ashley McCall, tēnei. Niwa air quality researchers have launched a research project to track ventilation and assess how our most vulnerable communities could be better protected from COVID-19. Improving airflow in indoor spaces is a key strategy to prevent transmission, but it's unclear if extensive messaging is changing behaviour. The Chief Executive of Hāpai Te Hauora Māori Public Health, Salah Hart, told Jimmy Illingham how important the project is to help keep communities together.
For the course of November, we're doing four different locations where there are high Māori and Pacific populations or groupings. And so that's looking at spaces such as early childhood centres, marae, churches, aged care facilities and other such residents that we will be going into. So the scientists from NIWA and our community research team from Hāpai Te Hauora are working in partnership to go into these places, install monitors so that they can improve their air ventilation practices. So with the ultimate goal, I suppose, of helping those places to reduce the infection rate. We're also looking at other respiratory illnesses or infectious diseases that can be caught, especially with those groupings that have a high susceptibility to becoming unwell.
You've spoken about identifying behavioural barriers to adopting widespread changes. Can you explain what you mean by that?
So there's some really simple practices that probably some places don't even think about. So it's around opening up our windows. We're quite lucky we're doing this research study during the spring and summer months at the moment. We will be doing the bigger component of the study in the colder months next year. But what we're trying to encourage is that you don't necessarily need big fancy machinery that's going to purify the air. That is obviously one solution. But there are really simple things, opening the doors, opening the windows, so that the airflow can just naturally happen. But I think that for a lot of it, it comes down to that habitual ability to do these things without even thinking about it.
And how important is that for the well-being and togetherness of a community?
Oh, it's integral. What we really know is that in the hotspots where there are multi-generational whānau living together, so we know inherently that our communities can actually action some really practical steps to reduce transmission of infection. But how do we bring that into day-to-day? How do we actually make people aware of how the air quality or air ventilation within their homes or within their centres or within their residents remains really good so that we can then reduce those infection rates and keep the whānau out of hospitals?
That was Chief Executive of Hāpai Te Hauora Māori Public Health, Salah Hart, talking to Jimmy Illingham. Iniwi Group in Wairua has come up with what it's calling an innovative kaupapa Māori way to help solve the town's housing crisis. With a shortage of rest home care, it's building a kaumātua village that might look a bit different from your ordinary neighbourhood. It's just one of a number of initiatives locals hope will make life easier. Our Hawke's Bay reporter Tom Kitchen has more.
Wairoa needs more houses, 150 of them right now, and possibly up to 510 years time as the population grows. Adding to the pressure are house prices. They've shot up at some of the highest rates in the country and have more than doubled in the last 3 years. I take a drive with Lewis Savatapu, General Manager of Tato Tato o Te Wairoa, the local post-treaty settlement group. He takes me to a spot across the road from the hospital, a grassy field which Tato Tato plans to transform.
It's just under 3 hectares. We've got plans to build 56 homes. In the middle of the community here, as you can see, we're going to have a 13-bed supported community facility for kaumātua.
Around that facility will be homes for whānau. The project embraces whanaunatanga, family connection or kinship, and would avoid the elderly being separated in rest homes from their whānau.
It's got the intergenerational interaction, right? It's got kaumātua with families and kids in the same community. It's a real whānau order approach.
They're currently in negotiations with the government for the millions of dollars they need to start building. The small town also recently got just shy of $1 million from the government to develop a housing hub, a one-stop shop for advice and help. The aim is to get people out of emergency housing into home ownership. Wairoa's Housing Strategy Coordinator Melissa Kaimawana says there's urgent need.
Whānau are telling us that they're living in overcrowded homes or homes that are in need of critical repair. They're cold and unhealthy.
The hub would also help whānau with home repairs and maintenance. Also on the wish list is more papakāinga, developments on Māori land. Currently, there's only one. Despite this, Wairoa Mayor Craig Little still doesn't think the government's state housing arm is doing enough in the town.
Kāinga Auto have been pretty slack. They promised us a lot of stuff and then they seem to change the move the goalposts.
But Kāinga Auto says it's working with a developer on a site in Wairoa that will see more than 20 homes built. It's had to say no to some private developments that don't meet its requirements.
Te Waonui e Tēnei Wiki. That's Te Waonui for this week. You can find all our Māori news stories on our website, rnz.co.nz, under the Te Ao Māori section. Thanks for joining us. Ko Ashley McCall, tēnei, no hora mai, tēnā koutou katoa.